I'm going to, you want to take out your Bibles, but we're not going to stay in one place. I want to just share with you some thoughts that I was going over in my own mind over the last few days in regards to making my life count. Now, I fully recognize that someone who is in their early 60s might look at this a little different than someone who is in their 30s or 20s. You do, but the truth is, we really shouldn't. We none of us know whether we have tomorrow. All we know is we have today, and we ought to purpose to live it with all of our zeal that we can come bring together. And so I wanted to share some thoughts in regards to making our lives count. Good idea? And then the sweet part about everything I'm going to share with you tonight, Jessica, your situation, it doesn't matter what's happened back there. We're talking about today, and we're talking about today going forward to tomorrow for every one of us. So having said that, first place I'd like you to turn in your Bibles is to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24 makes this statement. The fear of the wicked will come upon him. Okay, now that I don't know about you, but I've talked with a lot of people that are professing to be believers that are very fearful about the future. Now this makes a powerful statement of who ought to be fearing. It says, the fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. In other words, fear shouldn't be characterizing us. This desire of some other makeup, and it literally says of a righteous person, will be granted. You know, a lot of things are pretty challenging to get overcome. I know there are some in here that are in the early stages of saying, I've smoked enough and I'm done. Okay, and when I think about that, I remember some statistics I read. One was that 20 minutes after you stop smoking, your blood pressure gets back to normal. It only takes 20 minutes, but before then, smoking literally impacts your blood pressure. 8 hours, the carbon monoxide levels in your bloodstream drop by half, 8 hours after you stop smoking. 48 hours, the nicotine has left your body, and your sense of taste and smell will start to return to normal. That's 48 hours. 72 hours, your bronchial tubes begin to relax, and the energy level should start to increase. A logical and very repetitive symptom or characteristic that people find that are getting off of this very addictive drug. In 2 weeks, your circulation has increased on the average. What was it? Let me see. 2 weeks was increased and will become continue to improve for 10 weeks. It'll be a continual improvement, but 2 weeks afterwards, it'll start to improve. Your circulation will. 3 to 9 months, your lung capacity improves by 10%. 1 year, your risk of heart attack, of having a heart attack, will have dropped by half. Well, that ought to be a good thing to remind yourself of if you think to pick it up again. 5 years, your risk of having a stroke is the same as that of a non-smoker. 10 years, your risk of lung cancer is the same as that of a non-smoker. And 15 years, your risk of a heart attack are the same as a non-smoker. It takes 15 years to get your heart back to normal, but 50% of it. Well, all of that, you know what that really requires? It requires a decision. And I drum that into my grandkids. Listen, bud. Happiness is a decision. You're going to have to decide to be happy. I can't make you happy. You can. You and I can choose to be happy. In the midst of our circumstances, we can rejoice in the Lord. That's the point. We can just say, all right, you know what? I'm going to celebrate Christ no matter what else is happening in the peripheral. Genesis chapter 2, 16 through 17 makes this statement. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. In the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Genesis chapter 2, God is speaking to the first man and woman and telling them about a decision that they need to make, and if they don't, there's going to be consequences. Making choices has always been part of humanity. It is an integral part. A lot of people are in kind of an automatic, I can't control myself, I can't help. No, that is not true. God commanded us to do things and not to do things, and He doesn't command us to do or not to do things that we can't in Him. Okay, I'm going to share with you four truths that will help you put your life on the right track. Now, I'm assuming at the start of this that you understand, you know, it is ringing. There's a ringing here. I don't know if you're able to catch that, but in life, the first and foremost decision you ever will ever make, any of us, is a decision that recognizes that we are sinners individually and that we have a need of Jesus Christ. We need to come to that point where we're trusting in Christ and we become one of His. And I'm making that assumption to a Wednesday night group that that's primarily what makes up our group. So now I'm not talking about the person who is out there without Christ and trying to get their life together. I'm talking about those that are believers. I take it from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. A reminder of the very first point that you're going to have to do if you're going to want to get your life together. Joshua 24, 15. Joshua, it says this, If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And so he said, choose your God. Make a decision. Choose your God. Everybody got to choose. And then Joshua made this bold statement. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a man saying, you know what? Listen, I've decided. And that's my first point. Here's what you got to do. You got to decide to decide. You know, too many people are living life saying, well, I wish it wasn't this way, and I wish it hadn't happened, and I wish this, and I wish that. Forget that. You got to decide that today is going to make it, you're going to make a decision, and you're going to do right. Decide to decide. No longer wallowing in the mud about the past, and no longer being overwhelmed by the future. Decide today that you're going to live for the Lord. So I chose several of the hymns that we were singing. Fear of making a decision results in no decision. And let me say that you want to waste your life? Get paralyzed in this situation where you can't quite decide what to do next. That is a sure way of wasting time. As for me and my house, I've already made that decision. I am going to honor the Lord. I'm going to do right. I'm going to purpose to do right, and I'm going to purpose to challenge everybody that's in my family to do right. Does that mean they will do right? I can't make that decision for them, but I'll tell you what, I have a peace that allows me to lay my head down on the pillow and say, you know what? I've done what I can do. The Bible encourages us to make decisions today and not tomorrow or the next day. And the very first decision, you gotta look at what it says in Hebrews. Turn over to Hebrews for a second. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 makes this statement. But exhort one another daily while it is today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know what the author of Hebrews was saying? Don't mess around with delaying decisions to serve God. Choose today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, While it is said, this is two verses later, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. I spoke with a couple individuals that were members of our church, are members of our church today, about some sinful choices they had made. And I put it to them as lovingly as I could and said, but this is not okay. The Word of God says this, and you were doing this. This is not okay. You know what the response was? All the things that I had done wrong. I said, well, you know what? To the extent that I have done you wrong in any way, shape, or form, I ask for your forgiveness. But the facts remain, this is what the Scripture says. This is what Scripture says is appropriate behavior. And when you choose otherwise, you are choosing sin. You cannot point at other people. Every single one of us has to stand before God ultimately alone. Decide to do right. Go God's way. Not only do we have to decide, we have to decide what you want. If you're going to get in the right place for God, you've got to take a look at it. You know, it says the desires of the righteous will be granted. Psalms 37:4 says he gives us the desires of our heart. Every one of us ought to ask ourselves, what would the Lord have me to do? I have really been asking myself that over the last several years. I want to make sure I finish strong. I am so far from where I was when I was younger. I'm almost to the point where I do not give a whip what anybody says. If I think it's what the Lord wants me to do, I am just going to go there and everyone else can point fingers and shout and scream and do whatever they want. I'm going there. Because when I show up before Him, I want to be going His way. I want His approval, not anything else. So you got to ask yourself, what is your desire? And for some situations, you ought to really evaluate whether they line up with the Bible. What do you want? You know, I have to ask myself that. What do I want? Do I want a comfortable life? Well, there's a part of me that jumps to that idea. That sounds like a good plan. I like comfortable life. Do I want more money? I say, well, that sounds pretty good. I could use more money. But then when you sit back and say, now, hold on a second. If I want to first and foremost please the God, it doesn't matter whether I'm comfortable. It doesn't matter whether I'm wealthy. But it does matter whether I tell the truth. It does matter whether I do what is right. It does matter that I get up and I walk today, and then when I wake up tomorrow morning, I live tomorrow for the Lord. And you know how you determine that? You got to decide what you want. I want to please Jesus. I want to please the Lord, and so should you if you know Him. And even if you don't, let me let you in on a secret. You're going to want to one day. That every knee is going to bow before Him. And you're going to want to have chosen to honor Him. He says, let not your good be evil spoken of. I am concerned to that extent what others say. I do not want to do anything that would bring shame to the name of Christ. And neither should any of us. It may be uncomfortable and it may delay some things, but we ought to do things that bring honor and glory to Him. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Maybe some things of eternal value are what we ought to be going for, not temporal value. What do you really want? So I talked about decide. And give some serious thought about deciding on what you really want. And I am challenging you to want what Jesus wants. Line your life up with the Word of God and purpose to do it with all of your heart. I believe that's what Joshua was saying. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Decide to try. I think of that passage before. It said, he who has a slack hand becomes poor. That's Proverbs 10:4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. I think it's Proverbs 6:10. I didn't write it down. 6:10, and it's repeated. But a little sleep, a little slumber doesn't speak well for the outcome. Okay? Here's what it's saying. You know, I was talking with another brother that's in the room today, right now, this morning, actually. And we were talking about the alarm clock and how important it is to our testimony to ourselves that if we set the alarm, you get up to it. Decide what you think God would have you to do and then follow through. So you get there and the alarm goes off at 6 and you say, man, it really would feel good to sleep in. You know what? When I was wide awake before I went to bed, I said this was the right time. This is the right thing. You know what you ought to do? You ought to get your duff out of bed and be about the day. Now, I'm not saying that in some other times it isn't the right thing to do to say, I'm not setting an alarm today. I need to get more rest. That's fine. But I am saying to you, as a matter of testimony to yourself, when you decide that you're going to do something, do it. First and foremost, you got to start being truthful to yourself as a testimony before God. And then you need to take it to the next level and say, you know what? When I tell somebody I'm going to do this, to every extent possible, do your level best to follow through. Now, there are some times when you can't. There's no question about that. Sometimes a sovereign God intervenes and all of your great plans go out the window. Yeah, anybody relate to that one? You know, but you know what? I started to use that as an excuse. And I backed off of that. About 4 months ago, I started to say, why am I not able to accomplish what I really sense, Lord, that you want me to do? And I started recognizing that Satan had a real tool in my life. It was just a phone call from someone else that wanted something else. And then all of a sudden, I was making instantaneous decisions to please that individual. We've got to determine what God would have us to do and then stay to the course. It's not that you can't vary, but when you vary, there ought to be a prayer time going on that says, Lord, you know that we had talked about this the night before, that this is what I'm going to do today. Now, are you asking me to change my plan? And sometimes I have absolute peace that says, absolutely. And then I go about it. But what I've noticed is that many times I don't. No, I should stay with the course. This is a more appropriate way to go. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to share with us is that you have to decide to try. I have a couple quotes that are fairly interesting. Rick Warren, I think most of us recognize, he is, you know, you may not agree with all of his theology, but some of his writings have been very, very helpful for the cause of Christ, for sure. And he clearly has built a phenomenally successful church from other people looking on. He said this. This is what he wants in one of his books. This is what he wants on his tombstone. And I'll tell you what. I was touched by what he said. There's four words. He said, I don't want anything other than these four words on my tombstone and my name. At least he tried. That's an interesting comment, isn't it? I suspect he has a few arrows shot his way. And what in the end, he said, listen, I know I'm not winning any popularity contests in many circles, but at least I'm trying. Michael Jordan had one. I wouldn't normally quote Michael Jordan, but this fits so well, I want to. since I'm a preacher, I get to. I've never been afraid to fail. This is Michael Jordan. That's something you have to deal with. I think I'm strong enough as a person to accept failing, but I can't accept not trying. Boy, a few people need to hear that. We have been so infiltrated with all of those people that have the mindset that we can have the government take care of us. You know what? That's garbage. God intends for every one of us to do everything we can to care for ourselves and our own. That's really His plan. And we may say, well, it's too heavy. I don't care. That's still God's plan. We've got to do everything we can to be productive individuals for the cause of Christ. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, Proverbs 10:4. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Talking about hard work. So here are my points. Having God at the center of our thoughts, decide to decide. Decide what you want, and I trust it'll be to please Him. Decide to try, even though it looks like it's impossible to put your life together. But I'll tell you what, you got to get about it. And you got to say, listen, I'm going to give my heart to doing what God would have me to do. And every ounce of my energy, I'm going to honor the Lord with my time, with my thoughts, with my words, with my life. And then decide to try again. Because falling down is part of life. I think of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. And if you haven't marked this one down and you're a believer, you ought to mark this one. Proverbs 24, 16. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. That's a pretty powerful thought. In other words, life can get pretty hard, but we need to get up and get going. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Ephesians 6:13 said, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand fast, to stand. What does it say? It says you got to try again. Even though you feel like you got knocked down and it's impossible, you got to say, listen, I'm going forward. Why? Because He has told us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's why I say to all of us, number one, if you don't know for sure you know Jesus Christ, that has got to be your focus. It is most critical of all. It has eternal implications. But it has very direct temporal implications, because then you have the power of the Spirit of God living within you. And you can get power from the Word of God. The Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And you can tap in to this unbelievable asset. These four decisions that I challenge you with tonight are the foundation to being decisive. And what our pathetic world needs more than anything is Christians who are decisive, that are willing to stand and to march forward for the Lord's glory.